At this time, Superintendent Scatini, could you please make the presentation?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I'll be doing this evening is to present to you some information that individually you've received and many of the members of the audience have received at the four superintendent's meetings or administrative meetings that we've had across the district. I'd also include in that some additional information with follow-up that we've gotten from information that we've received. So if we could just move along to the next slide, Ms. Richards. We've had a number of meetings thus far, and the school committee has two more meetings after this evening's public hearing. The meetings at Barrows, which was conducted in the Barrows District at Parker, Eaton, Killam, and Birch Meadow, were very well attended by parents and citizens in the community. We had a very good dialogue, some wonderful questions, and a lot of input that we've collected. I'll be talking to you a little bit more about the follow-up of that information at the end of this presentation. This evening is the public hearing. There also will be a joint meeting of the school committee and the selectmen. That's on January 18th at the middle school, at the Parker Middle School multipurpose room, as well as the last meeting of which the school committee is scheduled to take a vote on the redistricting plan on January 27th. The timeline for this process has been rather lengthy. From the initial beginnings of announcing that this process would occur throughout the entire summer, from last spring to through the summer and through this fall. Particularly this fall, a lot of work has happened. There's been a lot of involvement of this, particularly the administrators that have worked very diligently in this process. And throughout the process, we've incorporated as much information as we could along the way. And something that I do want to say, as we get into the spring of 2005, notwithstanding where the boundary lines may be, the administration and of the elementary schools and their PTO stand very willing, able, and very excited about welcoming their new school community. No matter what the school is, whether it's a brand new school community like Wood End or whether it's a changed school community like the other four elementary schools, there will be an opportunity for the PTOs and parents and children to have a very positive experience a new community within their schools. A number of people have been involved within the redistricting process, particularly the elementary principals, all of which are here this evening. Ms. Patty DiGaravella, principal of the Eaton School. Ms. Wave, as people know who you are. Mr. Paul Garrett, principal of the Killam School. Mrs. Karen Callen, principal of Barrows at Wood End. Mr. Richard Davidson, principal of Birch Meadow School, will be principal of Wood End next year. And also involved within this entire process, being our director of special education, Mr. Steve Gannon. Someone who has worked diligently throughout this entire process and really worked so hard on the technology end of this has been Mr. Dennis Ridges, our associate superintendent, who's been key in this entire process. The middle school principals have been involved in looking at the middle school boundary line in terms of the one recommendation that's come from one of our elementary schools to look at that boundary line in light of the elementary redistricting, and they are continuing to do that as we speak, and this is not something that I would say should impact your opinion of the elementary line, but just to know that we are continuing that because it was a recommendation of one of our parent groups. The Reading, town of Reading recently, this past summer, employed a new position, a GIS technician. This woman has been very helpful to us in using the GIS system of the town and to use the census data to begin our process. And once we had the census data and began to look at that, we asked the parent group, which really started with our parent advisory committee and then extended to many volunteer parents in each of our schools, to do a townwide survey to validate much of the census data. This data was very helpful to us, and this data is up on the dashboard, the ReadingDashboard.org website. It's the data that we've used in order to put together the recommendation that we've set forward to you that you can see on the maps. We did talk with, along with two members of our committee, three realtors back in July. The realtors were helpful with us in terms of looking at our community and as the real estate market affects our community, where are the homes that may turn over, where are the neighborhoods that may turn over, what I'm calling the empty nester neighborhoods, and what what impact may some of the recent developments, the development down by REI, Longwood Farms, and Spence Farm, what impact would that have as far as children are in our community? We've had long discussions with the Reading Police Safety Officer throughout the end of this process as he began to look at the impact of crossing guards on the various areas that the crossing guards may be within both the existing schools and also the new district, the Wood End School District. The data that has been used to review and develop the recommended plan, the GIS database of the town, as I mentioned earlier, the census data that we all participated in last year, and one of the issues as we begin to look at the census data is we wanted to validate the census data. We did that in two different ways. One was to use our own administrative software, attendance software, and the other one was to ask our parents to do a townwide child population survey. Any of the streets that we were not able to get additional information, we used the census data in those streets that we were able to collect data through our volunteer parents, we were able to use that. We used as a sort of check and balances the NESDEC enrollment projection. You'll see those in a future slide. Before this process began, you as a committee gave us guidance, administration guidance, in terms of in view of a policy. It was this policy that we used as best we could, given the data and making the requisite decision for our recommendation. But this policy, these guidelines, helped guide our decision throughout the entire process. As we began to look at capacities, we had the policy that helped guide our decision-making, but then we also need to look at the capacities of our schools. The capacity of our schools, as we came up with the 90% capacity, was based on our current enrollment, and we used that current enrollment to look at the requisite capacity of each of the schools. We used 23 in each of our classrooms, 1 through 5, and 21 in each of our kindergartens. That number was part of the initial study, and that's why the numbers 23 and 21 were used. But the 90% of that came in light of the capacity that we had and the current population, student population that we had. And that was our target, as best we could, to balance. We could not use a specific number in each of our schools because our schools are of varying sizes. So we had to use a percentage in terms of coming up with balance, which was one of the requirements of the guidelines. As we began to look at the, based on the recommended guidelines, as you can see on the map, as we began to look at each of the four areas and the populations of each of those four areas, you can see over the span of 3 years the populations and the difference from the 90% projection. It's always off the 90% projection. You can see the plus and minuses. We want to try and compare against one fixed value. And the reason that you only see 3 years, the NESDEC projections do not give us anything more than the 3 years, and there's a reason for that. Elementary enrollment is the most difficult enrollment to project over time for a couple of different reasons. If you compare it versus high school and middle school, the children that we have that will be in our high school, will be in our middle school, we have and can literally count their little heads and then move along. We know where they are. We know that we have a certain amount that may go on to private school or to the Vogue school, and we can calculate that over a number of years. But with elementary school, it's very different. We have something, and I've mentioned at each of the four meetings, we have something called the Reading phenomenon that I've been able to witness over the many, many years of experiencing that, and that is that we have families with young children that move into town or couples that move into town with no children just to raise their children here in Reading. There are a couple of different communities, different types of communities in our area. We have communities that are stepping stone communities, communities where people may move for a year or two and then move on. But they move on to final communities like ours, final destination communities. Reading is a final destination community. It's where families would move to and stay. because the parents want to raise their children in our town, particularly because of the quality of our schools. And this is a phenomenon that's very difficult to predict. It's difficult to predict in two ways. One, it really is based on the real estate market. It's also based on the fact that we may be able to get an idea of how many per year move in, but we don't know the exact numbers because the census is not as accurate with that information. But moreover, we can't really predict where they will move to. And that's really when we're looking at redistricting our enrollment numbers, that's the difficulty of really trying to predict beyond the 3 years enrollment predictions. But we have used these 3 years because, as you can see, our enrollments, as we have determined them based on our attendance data in combination with the census and parent information data that they collected for us, is very similar, statistically similar. So we were able to determine that these 3 years, there is some validity to those numbers. We also have distributed via this presentation to various schools the grade distribution projections. Because students do not live street by grades, we wish we did, we could move a second grade street and a first grade street. We'd make it a lot easier in this process, but they don't. We needed to look at the numbers in total. And the numbers in total, as you can see, at times, certain schools may have one grade that's a little bit larger, one grade that's a little bit smaller. But if you look at the numbers across the board, that's what we needed to look at. How many in a given grade, as we began to look at different streets and moving different streets back and forth in order to try and come up to the best balance possible. One of the pieces of information that we wanted to share and did share with the parent groups was to look at the student impact projections. There are a little over 400 youngsters attending a new school next year. 303 will be attending the Wood End School, and 104 will move amongst Killam, Birch Meadow, Barrows, and Eaton. It didn't include the kindergarten because no matter what school they go to, it's their new school. So of all these numbers, of all the numbers of children affecting 407, our goal was to try and impact the least number of children possible. We worked very diligently at doing that, and if we include the entire population of our new school, Wood End, we did affect, I believe, the smallest that we possibly could. I'd like to talk a little bit about the presentations at the four elementary schools. And at those presentations, our goal, our objective, was to explain the process that was used, similar to exactly what we did tonight, to review the current four districts, and we've done that at the four meetings, to present the proposed plan, to show school enrollments and grade distributions that we shared just with you, and to answer questions and collect input. We spent total of approximately 8 hours having conversation and listening and collecting questions and doing our best to answer questions at the four schools. And I want to say that the input was valuable to us, and the conversation was something that was very helpful and very professional on behalf of all of the people that participated. What I want to tell you a little bit about was what we've done in follow-up with that. Notes of each of the school-based meetings and emails and letters received were reviewed by myself and Mr. Richards. We had a daily meeting as we reviewed each of the emails, all the letters and emails that came in, as well as to review the comments of each of the four meetings. We have developed graphs showing the impact of the various requested changes. We compiled them, began to analyze them. Each of you have that at your station, a packet of information that has the impact of what would happen given our current staffing, what will happen in our schools based on the current recommended plan. Now, a couple of things just to keep in mind. One is that it's based on current staffing. There may be a need, you may see a need to add additional teachers, but that is a budgetary issue that we'll take up beginning next week. What we wanted to do was, in order to compare apples to apples, we wanted to make sure that there was a given stable number that we were using to make comparisons. So we used the current teacher number of teachers that we have currently in our elementary schools for comparison purposes. You may glean from that some information that you want to use regarding the budget process as well. Throughout the entire process of working with the community and collecting information, there were a lot of requests for information. Not formal kinds of requests, although we had those and we gave that information out in a timely manner, but requests for information from the parent group. In just about all the requests that we had, if we had the information, we put the information on reading-dashboard.org. If it was information that we did not have but felt it was important to have, particularly important for you to have in making your decisions, we compiled that information and then have put this information up on the reading-dashboard.org. So all the information that we've used is right there and available to the public. The information that you have this evening in that packet will be put on reading-dashboard.org within the next couple of days. So everything, all the information that we've had have been shared in a very open way. Information that has been requested, even if we didn't have anything that was of a specific document, we compiled and put together as best we could. So I'm very pleased that we were able to do that, to give everyone the same information that we used as administrators in order to compile the recommended redistricting lines. There are some future decisions that I mentioned to you at the meeting in November that we are beginning to work on, obviously, but do not have any final decisions and won't until the final boundary lines are voted on by you as a committee, and that is the full-day kindergarten. Our goal is to have as many full-day kindergartens as possible in the same fee-based way that we have this year and have had the last couple of years, but the exact number of that would be dependent on the number of classrooms that we have. One of the issues that I've mentioned to you in the past is that all of our schools are not designed, as far as the configuration of classrooms, for having a vast number of full-day kindergartens, and we really need to look at space availability in order to have that. Special education programs, again, that's something that we will be looking at once we know exactly the populations, the room availability, and Mr. Gannon has been working with his staff to make the best placements of these programs based on the training of the teachers in given schools and space availability. The middle school boundary line, I mentioned to you a few minutes ago that the middle school principal, Linda Derice Parker and John Daugherty at Coolidge, are looking at the middle school boundary lines, really not because we have to change based on any kind of enrollment issues at our middle school, but really because it was a request of one of our school PTOs that requested that we take a look at this since we were looking at the elementary boundary lines. And we will come up with a recommendation regarding that once the final lines are drawn. The issue of grandfathering, once we know the numbers, we are beginning to compile some impact of grandfathering, and once we know the exact numbers, we'll have a recommendation to you regarding that. Sidewalks and crossing guards, we've had conversation, as you know, with the police safety officer. We've begun conversation with the town manager. You've begun conversation with your counterparts, the selectmen, and you have a meeting coming up January 18th to have additional conversation with the selectmen regarding both sidewalks and crossing guards. Just to point out to you and to the public, the information earlier can be gotten via www.reading-dashboard.org. And also, if people would still want to provide additional information to you as a board as you look at the next couple of weeks and making your decisions, they can get this information through the administration by writing their emails to redistricting@reading.k12.ma.us. And all the emails that we've gotten, letters that we've gotten, we have shared directly with you in the packets. So I appreciate the opportunity to give you this information this evening.
Thank you, Pat. Two quick things before we open it up for discussion is, much like how Superintendent Scatini said, we get copies of everything. Tonight before the meeting, Mrs. Greenfield dropped off a letter stating her case, and all that will be entered into the record, as well as I received a petition from Lynn O'Brien, and with a number of signatures, of which all copies will be made and distributed to the school committee members. So I just want to make sure everyone is aware of that. At this time, thank you, Superintendent Scatini, for all your hard work, as well as Associate Superintendent Des Richards and all the principals and Mr. Gannon of Special Ed. At this time, if anyone has any questions or comments, please come to either one of the microphones, and they'll be recognized. Please state your name and street address for the record. Does anyone like to have any comments?
Hi, my name is David Stallone. I live on Shackford Road. I didn't hear any recommendations. All I heard was a review of what the process was, and I thought some recommendations were going to be made.
Okay. Presently, the recommendation from the superintendent are the lines that are in place now. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Bill Downing. I live on Avon Street. I'm here as part of a very large group, Eaton East. I'm starting probably what's going to be a long series of questions for you. First of all, you mentioned that you'd received signed petitions from some other organization.
No, actually, that was just tonight from the Arlington Street.
Sure.
Bill, let me just, Jill, Bill, let me just answer your question, then you can continue with your questions. It was from the Arlington Street area. Was that particular petition that was dropped off to me tonight?
That has nothing to do with what I'm asking about.
Well, that was the question you asked me.
That you had received information that we've gathered.
Thank you. That we've gathered over 250 signatures in support of our petition as well. They're listed on our website. If you haven't seen it yet, it's at www.eaton, E-A-T-O-N, East, EAST.org.
Okay. Thank you.
Laura Baker, 10 Shackford Road. I thought the purpose of this meeting was for the superintendent to filter all the information he had received and provide to us and the school committee some suggestions and comments on how you felt all that information might alter. And so I am to assume by you not commenting on anything that you propose no changes to what the school committee came up with.
Yes, if the school committee would like me to make a recommendation further, my recommendation is that we not make any changes at this point in time.
That's your personal recommendation? Excuse me.
Wait, one second. Let me finish.
Yeah.
I've shared with you impact of the various areas. Each of the areas that presented to us, we took a look at each and every area that requested more or less to stay where they were. We've shared that information with you. At this point, the administration is recommending the map as it stands. Should the school committee decide, based on that information, to make any changes to that, obviously the school committee may do that. But at this point, the recommendation of the administration is to leave the map the way it stands.
Okay.
So all the compelling evidence you asked us for that we gave you didn't make you believe you should make any changes with the boundary lines?
At this point, that's correct.
Thank you.
Okay. One moment, Mr. Downing. Ms. Webb?
The package of information that we were provided with tonight, which basically analyzes the impacts of these different suggestions, which we're now going to have an opportunity to look at. Did you say that information was up on the dashboard or not?
It will be up in the next
couple of days.
Okay, so we've just received this information, and Carl, if I understood your what you said to the audience, but was really an instruction to us, is that we are to review this information, look at these impacts, and then if we have further questions for the superintendent, we need to forward them to him so that he can come prepared to the 27th.
Correct.
With the answers.
Okay. Correct. Mr. Downing?
Thank you. Now, as I understand it, and I just want to make sure that I'm clear and that everyone else is clear on exactly what information we have about the projected populations of the school will be. As I understand it, we now have three sources that have been recognized by the administration. One is census information, another is survey information, and a third is NESDEC. Now, is NESDEC and survey associated, or NESDEC and census associated, or is NESDEC a completely separate set of population projections that we have to draw from?
Pat, do you go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, the NESDEC are projections that yearly, since Reading is a member of NESDEC, yearly we get enrollment projections. And we use the enrollment projections as a form of validating the data that we had.
So as I understand it, NESDEC is separate from the survey.
Mr. Downing?
Sure.
Mr. Downing?
I thought you had finished. I'm
Mr.
sorry.
Mr. Downing? Okay, I'm in charge of the meeting tonight, and you're asking a lot of questions, which is wonderful, but you need to let myself and school committee members or the superintendent complete their explanation before we go to the next question.
I'm sorry, I thought you'd finished.
That's fine. Thank you.
We started with census data. In addition to looking at the census data, we wanted to try and validate that as best we could. The parent surveys that were done, the parent door-to-door surveys that were done at the various streets, were used to validate the census data. We used the parent information over the census data if there were any modifications. Census data did not take into effect any moves or any of that nature, any move-ins, any move-outs, so we were able to use more up-to-date information. And on those streets that we did not have the opportunity to have one of our parents survey, we used the census data. We compared that versus the NESDEC data to come up with the three-year projections.
So the NESDEC data is a completely separate set of data from the two others that you've mentioned.
Right. Those are projections. The information that we had was actual headcount, child count.
Okay. So there, as I understand it, there are three factual points of logic that you're using here, one being survey, one being census, and one being NASDAQ. Is that correct?
It's exactly as I told you.
Okay. Now, as I understand it, there's also a relatively non-factual point of information that's being introduced here, and that's the hypothesis of off-the-record realtors. It seems to me as though the hypothesis of the off-the-record realtors is being given tremendous weight. That's the whole empty nester theory here. All the other three more relatively factually based population measures have shown a contradictory result. And I would suggest that for some reason it seems as though the off-the-record opinion of unnamed realtors, well, they may be named, but we don't know exactly which realtor said which thing because it's off the record, and they'll never, of course, be held accountable for what they've said, is being given relatively great weight, and the three sets of factual data, the census, the survey, and the NASDAQ, are being given relatively little weight, especially when we see the projections for Eaton being, within a couple of years, way, way below the 90% capacity. That's my comment to the school committee. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. And just the answer in terms of... Okay, Mr. Downing. I appreciate the respect that I've shown you tonight, that if I'm giving a... I'm reciting my answer to you in reference to the realtors, is that we did not give them any more weight than any other additional information. We looked, as a school committee, for as many sources of information so that we can make educated decisions. Did I sit there and say, our superintendents sit there and say, these are the lines based off of what Mary Anastas, realtor, owner of Advancing Realty, said, oh, I think this is an empty nest area? Of course not. It was just an additional avenue for us to collect information, which I would assume you would want us to do, is to collect as much information for as many sources so we can make educated decisions. Thank you. Any additional questions, please? Kathy, there's a little switch there.
Hear me now?
Gotcha.
Kathy Vaccaro. I live at 57 Woburn Street, and I live in an area that's being redistricted from Barrows to Birch Meadow, and I fully expected that was going to be the case, and my comments and my suggestion will not affect my family at all, but it's just something that just doesn't seem quite logical to me about how the lines were drawn. And I do appreciate that there was an awful lot of energy put in by the principals and the administration, hours and hours and all the data. But one of my concerns is that in the library area, where there's a line between Birch Meadow and Barrows, it's a line that's drawn through an existing neighborhood. I see someone nodding. I think you used to live in that neighborhood. It's right down Grand Street. It's not a natural boundary. And whether that line moves left or doesn't, it doesn't affect me personally. But when I look down the road, it just doesn't make sense to me where that line is. I think it should be a more natural, busier street, or as I saw in an earlier version, the train tracks, or something, just a more natural division that doesn't divide neighborhoods where children are playing across the street from one another. I think in some cases it even goes right through some backyards, you know, where people can jump across the backyard and they're in different school districts. I would, if it were me, I would divide it on a more natural boundary. So that's the only neighborhood I'm really familiar with where something just doesn't seem quite seem right. Everything else kind of seems logical. I understand there's issues in Joshua Eaton. I'm just not that familiar with them. My only other concern is that I was part of the Parent Advisory Committee earlier. In my opinion, the Parent Advisory Committee did not have a great role in terms of having input. So I think these meetings are really important, and I hope the school committee really takes seriously the parents' concerns, because I know the principals had a great deal of input, the administration did. And I think these meetings, it's very important that the parents have a lot of input or that they're listened to, because I don't feel that the Parent Advisory Committee was used fully. You know, for whatever reason, that's fine. But I was concerned that this meeting tonight, we didn't receive, my children go to three different Reading public schools, and we didn't get any notices home. You know, maybe something got lost in a backpack. I didn't see it in any of the Reading papers, and I would just hope in the future meetings that these would be publicized. I know the December meetings were pretty well attended, but tonight, if someone hadn't just mentioned it to me off the, you know, in passing, several of us wouldn't have even been here tonight. So I think just because I think the parent input is important and I think you want these things to stick for a while, I think it's very important to let people know these meetings are happening and not try and eliminate input as we're going along. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Thank you for your comments, Ms. Picaro. In reference to tonight's meeting, it's been scheduled for months. It's been distributed in all of our materials. We've also announced it at all of our meetings. In addition, RCTV today made sure that our meeting was posted on their cable so that people would know that the meeting was on, because typically if the schools are canceled due to inclement weather, that usually the school committee does not meet, but we felt as always important to continue with this meeting tonight since it was posted so many times. And as well as the flyer that went to all the listing all the dates and times of each elementary school. At the end of the dates, the next paragraph says on January 6, 2005, the Reading School Committee will be holding a public hearing. So it's actually in the flyer that was distributed to everyone, and I think that's one of the reasons why each meeting was so well attended, because it was posted on that flyer.
That's fine.
I just want to make sure that everyone knows that, you know, we're not doing something under the cover of darkness, is that this meeting has been posted for since November 23rd. Any additional questions?
Hi, my name is Sandra McLaughlin, and I live at 323 Ash Street. I have a document here that was given out in the from 2003-2004 for an additional $2.5 million will be required for the Barrows project. And in it, it said that the five elementary schools, the education spaces, would be appropriately sized and balanced, and it would anticipate that no elementary children would reside so far from their school that they would be required to take a bus. Well, I'm 2.3 miles, so my children will have to go on a bus if this happens. And it says here that a neighborhood school combined with already approved Barrows additions will eliminate the present need for cross-town busing, which will happen if it isn't changed, and the funds currently spent on busing would offset the cost for the new school. So they voted on this one, and then now they're changing it, and our children will have to be bused across town.
I'm sorry, what street are you on?
I'm on Ash Street.
Ash Street, and you're saying that's 2.3 miles?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just trying to take in all the information because we got to make sure that that calculates, because that is important.
Well, I just feel like, I mean, I know everything changes year by year, right. But I mean, if this was all tried to planned out before, and now all of a sudden we're right. sending my kids in kindergarten and first and second grade across to the other end of town on a bus, I just don't want to feel that that's safe for my children.
Okay. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Pat, do you want to address the busing? Because I know that there seems to be some concern about the belief that there's such a greater cost for the busing.
Say something about that?
Ma'am, go ahead.
Please.
Well, we're sort of switching topic angles. I'm Jody Avgis in the Eaton District, and Lynn Kirker and I just submitted a letter to you, Mr. McFadden. We didn't have time to make copies for you guys, but we'll get you a copy.
We'll get it.
We don't really have a name, but you could sort of call us Eaton West. But we're sort of the Washington Street and Prescott Street. There's a little rectangle. And I just wanted to acknowledge that we have a request to reconsider because our kids walk to school and they love it. And it's just to bring to the committee's attention that it certainly would not be correct to assume that these are not walkers. We are walkers. We love it. We walked the other day. We're out there. We're saying we're walking. We got to walk. So we're out there walking, and we really would love to keep walking. So also, I just wanted to acknowledge that I don't know, or I have a question. I don't really understand how the process of the decisions are going to be made, of course. We did get approximately 80 to 90% of all the kids. They're impacted. 22 of the 27 kids that are impacted are represented here, but if it would make a difference, we can get more, so I don't really know if we need to do that. We didn't know if we really had a deadline as of tonight to submit things, so the question is, can we continue to submit information or support after tonight?
As I mentioned earlier, in terms of, you can absolutely positively up until realistically the 26th submit information to us. What the school committee is going to do, what I'm asking them to do, is roughly by the 21st that we put in all of our requests for additional information, such as like the Arlington Street. I grew up on Arlington Street, so I'm familiar with
right.
where you are. What impact that would have if we put them to wherever the case may be. This is an example. Mm-hmm. On the 27th, the superintendent's going to be answering the questions the school committee asked of him. I say that I'm asking the school committee to be fair to the superintendent by saying I'm giving them, and realistically, an artificial deadline of the 21st so that he has the appropriate time to be able to give our answers on the 27th. So I would say if you have something, the 21st would probably be best for you to give us that input.
Thanks.
Thank you. Sir?
Hi. Norm Blanchard, 276 Ash Street. Just over 2 miles from Killam. Mr. Schettini, I just wanted to ask you, again, going back to the busing issue, but putting aside the question of cost, how do you square, or let me pose it as a question first. Under your proposed plan, are the children in the Eaton East neighborhood the only ones who are being bused by your choice?
Bused by my what?
Choice.
By your choice, as you've laid out the plan.
Actually, there are...
The 8th Street kids have to be bused because they live more than 2 miles from every school. So there's no non-busing choice for them, right?
Correct. There are some children that would be in the Rustic Lane area that are beyond the 2 miles at this point.
And they'll be bused to which school?
Wood End.
Wood End. So they're more than 2 miles from any school then, right?
No, they're more than 2 miles from their, no, the school that they're going
to. Okay, so you're choosing to bus them to Killam?
No, to Wood End.
I mean to a Wood End, I'm sorry. How do you square choosing to bus that population and the Eaton East population with the directive that busing be minimized?
Right now we have three buses that we currently use. We use those buses mainly because we would have to use those buses regardless. We have middle school students that we must bus by statute. So that we have the buses, and they cannot be used in any other district because they are buses that must be used within our town. Having them do elementary runs is a very minimal cost increase to the budget to have, because we have to rent that bus for the day. Having them do an additional run is not a significant increase in cost. The exact cost will be next year. I cannot give you because we're going out to bid this year for next year's busing. But the number of buses going will remain the same.
But it sounds like what you're saying is, so as to run fuller buses, let's bus the Eaton East kids.
No.
Then why bus children who live a half to two-thirds of a mile from one school, why bus them over 2 miles to another school when there are other students who might be redistricted who live maybe two-thirds of a mile from their new school?
Rustic Lane.
All right. One of the things, I just want to make sure, excuse me.
Sure.
I want to make sure I want to understand something here. There has been no decisions, all right? For some reason, I think there's a belief that the school committee is going to rubber stamp whatever the superintendent is going to do. I could speak for myself. Excuse me. I could speak for myself here, and I'm not speaking for any of the other five members of the school committee. I know in my mind that I'm going to be looking at different areas to address these situations, okay? So I don't want there to be a foregone conclusion in your mind, okay? If you feel that way, that's fine, but I just want to make sure that you're aware is that I know from my personal point of view, I'm going to be suggesting some changes, okay?
No, and we appreciate that. I think just it's healthy for the benefit of you folks, for us to get it out in the open, and for Mr. Schettini,
right,
for us to ask him for clarification of what led to these decisions.
Sure.
First and foremost, I guess, for you guys, because you're going to be, I think that's part of the grist for the decision mill.
Sure. Right. No, and that's one of the things in terms of he's giving tonight was the first time that he's actually said to us, this is my plan.
Okay.
What he said before, in the previous 6 weeks thereabouts, is, I believe this is my plan, but I'm not 100% it's positive, because he's been taking this input. I cannot emphasize enough to you of how this man and this administration has had a very open mind. Just because you may not be getting what it appears to be what you want doesn't mean that they haven't had an open mind to this.
Oh, sure.
Okay? I just want to make sure people understand that.
Oh, definitely.
I know it's sometimes people don't believe that, but nothing has been set in stone. He's making a recommendation to us. He makes recommendations to us all the time. We don't always do what he wants us to do.
But at the same time, after four school meetings, not one street was changed. I mean, he may have had an open mind, but this whole process has led to no change from what he started with to what he's proposed to. Doesn't mean that you folks won't take an honest look at it and change it, but
right,
it leads to... it's disheartening that nothing has changed already.
Sure. And I empathize with what you're saying, but he's not the decision maker.
Okay.
So that's what you got to remember.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Ma'am?
Hi, I'm Lynn O'Brien. I live at 34 Washington Street. So my family is directly affected by being redistricted from Joshua Eaton to Barrows. And I'm part of the group that submitted the what you called it, the petition tonight. And the two issues that we really have are safety and walking that Jody already talked about earlier. And just to give a little bit more information on that, the issue is one of distance as well as safety, because currently kids from that rectangle, that area, can safely walk and ride their bikes to and from school. But to try to get over to Barrows, it's quite a difference from getting over to Joshua Eaton. It'll be about twice the distance for our particular street, and it would require them to cross three major streets, which are quite dangerous for kids without parents walking right there with them. And I know my children really look forward to being able to be old enough that I will let them walk home from school without me meeting them there. And I sometimes walk and greet them, and they don't even like me to do that. But so I'm disappointed that if there is no change, that opportunity is going to be taken away from our children. And the other issue is one of the long-term fix, which I know is one of the guidelines that you had set forth on trying to make this be a long-term fix. And I guess I am troubled by the fact that, given the current numbers, Joshua Eaton is going to be underpopulated and Barrows overpopulated within only a couple years from this coming year where the redistricting goes into place. And on top of that, those numbers don't take into account the two developments that are planned that are within the Barrows district, and it doesn't take into account the fact that our neighborhood was considered, from my understanding from one of the meetings I attended, that our neighborhood was considered an empty nest neighborhood. So it's three issues you're moving into Barrows, which without those issues is going to be overpopulated. So that's the other main issue, I guess. I question why you're moving 27 children this year, and within a couple years, I believe your numbers show that the school will be overpopulated by 43. So, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.